Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we are here with the most anticipated memoir since Spare by Prince Harry, and this one thankfully is about a tenth of the length.
Right. So last night I edited our Jada. I was like, let me just see how long Jada's is, and then I looked and I was like, oh my god, it's 15 hours, and I was like really ready to slam her. But then I was like, well, actually, Sarah, go back to your audiobook library. Most memoirs are about 15 hours audio.
Yeah.
And then I got the email. Brittany was ready. Brittany's is a slight five. And I was like, 5 hours, this is going to like be like a podcast. Like, this is a breeze, you know? And after listening to me trash Jada on the podcast the night before, I realized, you know what? I'm being unfair. So I bought Jada's book too. And I'm going to do them both. Because the truth is, if Jada has 15 hours of story, then perhaps she is worthy.
That's the name of her book. If people don't know, that's the name of her book.
Yeah. And honestly, she might be worthy of all that time. Everything that we were saying yesterday is our own shit. Like, the one thing you said was, is it possible that Will is like the most enlightened man of all time? And it's like, actually, it is possible. And from what I know, they both don't come from very strong family units. And ultimately, especially I think in Hollywood, either it is or is not a business decision. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Also, we were trashing her for Tupac. In just doing a slight bit of research, oh, she's known Tupac since high school. Like, it's not like she was like, oh, I met Tupac and we're soulmates. Like, no, like, I have guy friends like that that feel like soulmates. And so I did think later at another date, maybe for the Patreon, and once I get into the book, I would like to see Jada's chart with Tupac's chart. I'd also like to compare the men. But I also just want to say that maybe she's not the best actress in the world, okay? Britney's not the best singer, even though she did have an illustrious early life, which we will discuss. But the other thing I want to say is, with all that Virgo in her public house, actually, maybe writing is her thing. Maybe she's a great writer. And maybe she actually has done all of this to stay in the public eye and be a part of the Will Smith machine. But you know what? You were saying, what is her secret? What is her secret to get all these men just lay on her feet and let them, her dummy mommy them? And I just realized, like, I want to know. And I'm going to give Will and Tupac and Jada the benefit of the doubt, and I'll listen to all 15 hours and 5 of Britney.
Well, I don't know if I'll join you, but
I'll let you know, and I'll report back.
Yeah, let me know if it's interesting. I'm sure she has a really great tale to tell, and I also felt a little guilty because we were a little hard on her.
Trashing her.
Yeah, we were. I do feel a little bad about that, but I just don't understand what's going on. And yeah, maybe I do need to read the book. But we're here to talk about Britney's book. It's called The Woman in Me. And yes, it is a scant 5 hours long. I'm reading it. Sarah's listening to it. Michelle Williams is pursuing the EGOT by reading it on Audible. And we're going to do probably 4 episodes about this. Today we're doing up through chapter 12, which, like, I mean, it moves so fast. The book moves so fast. Mm-hmm. We go up to and including the Justin Timberlake abortion. So I didn't think that was going to happen till later. What are some of your initial thoughts on having read the first 25% of this book?
Well, let me be clear. I haven't read it. I have listened to Michelle Williams doing Britney reading it.
Is she doing an impression or is she just doing herself?
Okay, so this, I almost want to just send you like an audio clip and you tell me what you think. So she's not doing an impression per se, but I don't know where Michelle is from. Like, the first, when I first, so like Britney does the foreword, and it's her, even though actually I had to listen to it like three times on like, I did one speed and then I did like negative 0.5 speaks. I was like, is it Britney? Like there was even a part of me hearing her voice where I'm like, is it AI? Is it Britney? And then I'm like, no, I think it is Britney. As we learn through the first fourth of this book, chain smoking has been a big part of her life. Like she might sound like that because like she might just sound like a smoker now, you know? And so
I love how she's just like, I smoke Virginia Slims. And it's like,
just like my mama taught me when I was 10.
I know. I was like, I hope they're paying you for that. First of all, because you know, cigarette companies aren't allowed to advertise. They're not allowed to advertise anymore. So that is like the best ad that money can buy. Britney Spears smokes Virginia Slims. That's iconic. Like so many girls.
Would they be allowed to pay for it?
I don't know, because it could be a loophole. I mean, if they could, they would, and it will then become a Supreme Court case and become outlawed. But if you're going to go down with Britney endorsing your product, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty epic.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
And I love it too, because it's like smoking is such a bad look nowadays. And she's totally. Just like, I smoke Virginia Slims. I don't know. It's like cute and funny. And I liked that, but well, yeah.
And so she does the intro. She dedicates it to her boys, the loves of her life. Then she does the intro where she like lays on the rocks and connects with God and nature as a little girl. And then character change. Michelle Williams is the narrator now.
Oh.
I texted you right away. At first, I was pissed. I was like, why didn't she at least do a Britney impression? Why isn't she doing a Britney accent? Or just, I don't know. I just felt like, why? I heard Michelle Williams and I was like, sucks.
We need the Southern flair.
When I put it in 1.5, all of a sudden, it sounded like a really good Britney impression.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm going to record you a clip after this. Tell me what you think. Anybody listening, please let us know. Join the Patreon, let us know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, actually, because it's not like Britney has like a thick accent. And we don't really know what she sounds like anymore, but we know that she sounds like maybe like frenetic.
Yeah, clipped.
Clipped, like a little rushed. Like she's kind of just trying to like finish speaking a little bit. So like when it was 1.5, I was like, this is a great impression. So, you know, it grew on me. And then by chapter 12, I was like, that's Britney.
That's great. I mean, that's a great thing about technology that I would not have ever foreseen. It helps Michelle Williams sound like Britney Spears. So let's get into chapter one.
Yeah,
the
please.
Really shocking thing was that was just really mentioned kind of briefly and just makes everything fall into place so perfectly is the monster grandfather that she had.
Well, not only the monster grandfather, but his wife, who she's named after.
Yes. The grandfather's name is June.
Oh, that's what it was. June and Jean.
Yeah. And the grandmother's name.
They're such genderless names.
Yeah, it's really weird. The grandmother's name is Jean. This is from the book. Jean suffered the loss of a baby when he was only 3 days old. June, grandfather, sent Jean to Southeast Louisiana Hospital, a by all accounts horrible asylum in Mandeville, where she was put on lithium, which sounds familiar.
No, there's so many patterns. The whole first quarter is almost like setting up a perfect arc. I know where all these things are going. There are so many. This is about karma. This is great already. I just want to say.
Yeah. Lithium is still what they use to treat bipolar disorder. I'm not sure if it's been confirmed that Britney was ever on lithium, but
You'll probably tell us. She's not hiding much.
In 1966, when she was 31, my grandmother Jean shot herself with a shotgun on her infant son's grave just over 8 years after his death. I just got chills. That's so sad. Yeah, so man. This poor woman, she clearly had postpartum depression over the death of her son. And her husband sends her to a mental institution. God only knows what they did to her there. They put her on lithium and like in the 60s, mental health, obviously care was completely different. And
right. Then, they literally like cut Kennedy's sister's head off.
Right. Like frontal lobotomy, like crazy shit. And then she committed suicide on her infant son's grave. Like that is so dark and so sad. So
that is the paternal grandmother that Britney is named for.
Named for. So Britney Jean. So then her dad, Jamie, they really like were ahead of the curve on the genderless names and on the side of his family, which is surprising because it's very toxic masculinity centric. But June and Jamie.
Jamie, Jean. They were into J names.
Yeah. So Jamie, her dad, he grows up with this crazy ass abusive father, June, who would put him on these crazy exercise regimens. Kind of reminded me of David Beckham's dad from last week or 2 weeks ago.
Except that David Beckham, like, I had a shot.
I know. Oops. And
oops, I did it again.
The abusive grandfather was a cop, obviously. No of
shock.
Course.
No shock.
And they said that he sent his second wife to the mental hospital as well, the same mental hospital.
And she has a line in it where she's like, I guess this is like sort of the beginning of, like, I don't know if it was like my troubles, but it was like, they always said like the Spears men were bad apples or something. It was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's putting it mildly. So not only was he abusive to his wives and his children, he also he allegedly, one of Britney's father's half sisters said that June sexually abused her starting when she was 11 until she ran away at 16. So this guy is just a complete and utter monster, allegedly,
who
has just been, I mean, destroyed. He just destroyed like his entire family. It's just, and she just says it all so matter of factly. It's so sad.
I sort of think that's a stylistic choice.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need adjectives when you're describing that kind of abuse. Like it's so much stronger to just let the actions do it. In writing, we have a saying, say, show, don't tell. It's just so much better to say what was done, and you don't need to say anyone's emotional reaction to it. You don't need to dive any deeper into it than here's what he did. And everyone is just going to be jaw on the floor at that, at those revelations.
And it's sort of brilliant because what it's asking the reader / listener to do is react themselves. So when she's just laying it out, like, it's like, hey, this is just what it, the whole thing is very flat. She actually says in the first quarter of the book, some remarkable stats about her that we've all but forgotten.
Yeah.
And maybe didn't even give her credit for in the first place. And the whole thing is incredibly flat, which I think is genius. I think making it 5 hours is genius. Everyone's going to buy it. Everyone's going to listen. It's the easiest read / listen ever. And it's not flowery. It's not her feelings. It's not anything other than this is what happened. This is my story. And as a result, we're all like, oh my God, how, like, wasn't she upset? This all, like, even the first thing you said, this, all the dots start connecting right away. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, it's crazy. So then on her mom's side of the family, you have this elegant, classy woman from London, Lily Portell, which was her grandmother, who during World War II meets an American soldier, her grandfather, Barney Bridges. This is her mom's parents. And at a dance night for soldiers, and he proposes to her. I guess he was just a hottie in a uniform. And then he brings her home to America, and she grew up in London, and she ends up at a fucking dairy farm in New Orleans, outside New Orleans.
In terms of also just the remarkable synchronicities, Lillian, like, I always hint at it, like, if I ever have children, I have two daughter names, and one of them is Lillian, because I'm Lillian. They call Lilith, like, Lilith women are Lillian women, of the Lilia or whatever. So the fact that the grandmother, that she seemed to have a better relationship, or at least that line of the family, because I guess it was her mother, it was Lillian's mother that actually was like the savior, but either way, Lillian is Lilith. Brittany Jean has Lilith conjunct her son.
Whoa.
So not only is she Jean, but she's Lillian.
Oh, wow. Of course she has Lilith conjunct her son.
And later in the book, when she starts talking about why was everybody treating me like I was a dangerous woman, that is the paradox. She is living the pop star paradox of Lilith's son.
Oh, that is so fascinating. And of course,
sexually
her son is
repressed and expressed and rejected and like, do you see what I'm saying? That the sort of Lillian dichotomy, it actually really explains Lilith energy to a T.
Wow. And she's a Sagittarius, just so everyone knows. So her obviously, I mean, Sagittarius, we always say it is the pop star sign. Britney is the pop star. I mean, Madonna is really, she invented the form, and she's a Leo, but I think Britney represents, like, she's kind of the natural conclusion of the type of pop star that Madonna kind of invented, like all consuming in ways that you would not ever think would happen for someone who's just a singer in the music industry, like becoming this huge icon. The snake starts to eat its own tail. It's like, it makes so much sense that her son and Lilith are conjunct. Wow, that's so crazy. And I think this grandma, Lillian, is so, I mean, she sounds a lot like Britney. Like if she was born today, she would have also been like, I'm leaving Louisiana and going to New York. Like I cannot be on this dairy farm in the 1950s after I grew up in London.
Well, and she sort of got tricked into it. So it was sort of like she thought that she like fell in love with the guy in uniform and that he was promising her this life. And as she committed to it and then got into it, it was like, oh my God, what have I signed myself up for? This is the beginning of the end.
And a lot of British people, I don't know if this was true back then, but certainly now, because of our movies and TV and everything, British people think all Americans are rich. So like she, if that was true back then too, she probably was like, a dairy farm? What? Poor totally. Lillian. So, okay.
The last thing I'll say real quick is, oh fuck, I had a really good point. It'll come back to me. Never mind.
Okay. She references how much she loved copying, to this day loves copying her grandma's British accent.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's the British accent. That's because that was her grandma. Like,
people think it's kooky and crazy, and it is a little bit, but it makes a lot of sense that her grandma had a British accent. Like, that's why, that's where she got it from.
Not just like she's like going into some like schizo episode. She's doing her loving grandma.
Yeah, exactly. Very cute. Very cute. So now we get into her childhood, her parents, elementary school. She talks about her dad drinking. I highlighted this quote that made me really sad. I always wanted a dad. All I wanted was a dad who would love me as I was. Somebody who would say, I just love you. You could do anything right now. I'd still love you with unconditional love.
Isn't that so relatable?
Yeah, so relatable. That's all kids want from their parents. And it makes me so sad because I think a lot of the time people have kids to kind of try to close the loop on that type of love and get it. If they can't get it from their parents, maybe you can provide it for and get it from your kids. And her two male children have been spirited away to Hawaii so that their dad can continue to collect child support instead of getting a job. It's just so, so tragic. It's so tragic. And it's always at the hands of men. Not saying it's her kids' fault. They have no agency in this whatsoever, but it's their kids. It's Kevin Federline. It's her dad. It's like, just every man in her life. Ugh. But also like later on when she gets to New York, the record executives, she like loves them, which I really like the executives and Max Martin, the producer. I thought that was really nice that she did have some positive male role models because God knows they're not easy to find in this day and age or any day and age. They're probably only getting better. But I thought that was nice that she was like the guy Clive or whatever who owned Jive Records. And she's just like, I just thought he was the coolest person ever. He had this cool accent. And just to skip ahead a little bit, just so that I don't forget this point that I have been thinking about all day, is it's so like we were raised to think of Britney as someone who was focus grouped into existence and that there was this, you know, cabal of old white men in the shadows kind of pulling the strings and making creative choices for her and making business choices for her, and that she was not a creative and she was an industry plant. And it becomes so clear that she was just a teenager on her own. And like, yes, she had a lot of record executives who were plucking her from obscurity and putting her into these positions where she could do stuff. But she did have so much more agency than we were led to believe. Like that was always the line around her, was like, oh, she's just a product. She's not making any choices. And I don't know if it's accurate or not, but something that really stood out to me reading this was just how alone she was for that whole early part of her career. Like she was kind of like a lone wolf, and Felicia Calotta was there to help her. But like I don't know. It's like, you think you had this idea growing up that, or I did at least, that it was like the board of men in the Barbie movie that represent Mattel, that you just had that all around her at all times. And that was who was like, obviously she was a world changing talent, no matter who was making the decisions, but it seemed like those men were making a lot of the decisions. But just from reading this, it doesn't seem that way. It seems, well, I don't know.
She actually gave language to kind of what I've always wanted. And like, I think I told you, I almost got signed by a record label a few years ago, and years ago now, but I was so disappointed to find that they weren't actually like, what she says is, I was ready to do all the work, and she did. She was the perfectionist. She was the one like, run it again until it's perfect. This was her joy.
She just loved it.
So she sang her way out of Kentwood when things were violent and had the drive and the talent and the charisma. But what she needed from the record labels was like a bunch of people that would, oh, she said it really well. It was like, that would package me so that I would be accessible to more people, which is all I've ever wanted, baby. It's like, yeah, that's what it was. It's like when she connected with the record label, she, it wasn't like she was like writing the songs herself necessarily, but she was collaborating and she was like, oh, this is how it works. Like, we're going to work with, you're going to set me up with producers. We're going to work together and we're going to make something that then we can, like, she just had a team behind her, but they were not inventing her. She was her. They were working with her.
Yeah. Totally. And I always hoped that was the case. But, you know, it was the 2000s. There was a lot of misogynistic messaging around absolutely everything. Totally. And the line on her and Christina was, they are puppets. So I don't know. It's just cool to have. And again, to have her show and not tell us that yep. was not the case. That's so exactly anyway, right. Back to Kentwood. She's waitressing at 9 years old. That was just a weird little random aside.
I had to go back and listen to the ages a few times because I was like, wait, did I hear that right? I'm like, there were a lot of jarring early moments for her where it's like, wait, how old? Oh my God.
Yes. Her mom started giving her daiquiris and White Russians while driving to the beach at 13. Her mom was having her drink.
And in fact, she was letting Brittany drunk. Sorry, say it again.
They were drinking together from when Brittany was 13 years old. It's like, no wonder she was sort of, you know, her image was, I guess you could argue, sexually precocious, because she was everything precocious. She was like, it just
seems
raised
like that way.
Yeah. In Kentwood, it was just like, oh yeah, you're able to walk here. Have a Virginia Slim, you know?
Dude, she literally tells the story of they were coming home from the beach once. She was drinking with her mom all day with Jamie Lynn in the back, and Lynn had Brittany drive home.
I don't know if Brittany was drunk during that part. I don't know if Brittany had been drinking.
I think, well, maybe she hadn't been drinking, but either way, she was 13 and driving. Yeah. And her mom was like, did you smoke a cigarette? And like screamed at her or something. And then Brittany like crashed the car and it was like, Brittany, you moron, you crashed the car. It's like, Brittany's 13.
She's 13. She was DD because her mom was drunk, I think. And
okay,
like,
that's what it was, right. But either way, she was 13.
I know. It's so crazy. What? It's so crazy. So no wonder when people were like, you're dressing too sexy. She was like, huh?
She's like, yeah, I was born 21.
Yeah. She's like, I've been drinking and driving, not at the same time, but separately since I was 13 and smoking Virginia Slims. Like, what do you mean I can't wear a belly shirt? What?
Right.
So funny. So then she goes into New York and gets, it's so funny because all this early career stuff I actually have memorized, because remember when we were little, they would have VH1 Behind the Music. Yes. You would just watch it all day, every day. And they would always play the Britney Spears one. I know her entire resume. It's so funny. And I've seen all the clips of all of her singing all of these songs that she mentions on Star Search and everything. So,
well, that's part of the fun of it too. In the same way that like the Posh and Beck thing, where it was like just this walk down memory lane, where it's like, but what, again, what's so powerful about it is like, she's not saying this was so powerful. She's actually just laying out her resume and it's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. But I do kind of wish that she was a little bit more introspective about this time period, and that she explained how she felt about the fact that her mom was so happy to take her to these places. But I also think,
I think it was a point. I think she was trying to just be like, I was so happy.
Yeah. And I think her parents gave her a lot of agency, again, with the drinking and the smoking and the driving. They also clearly let her make her own career decisions. And the minute she left the Mickey Mouse Club and said, I don't want to go to New York or LA, I feel a hankering for just being a normal high school kid, they were like, okay. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like her parents were.
It seems like they needed conservatorships at the time, and they just didn't have anything to conserve.
Right. Exactly. The age old dilemma. Who sends you to rehab when you're not making anyone money? You know,
And like, they're already planting the seeds, though, for how fucking fucked up the conservatorship is, because what we already know before we even get there in the book is that all the things that they said were the reasons they didn't trust her were everything about them. It was the ultimate projection already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, is it any wonder that she thought driving through L.A. with one of her kids on her lap was no big deal? I mean, she was driving.
He was like, L.A., you should have seen the baby yesterday. He was driving by himself.
Right, right. It is so exactly what her parents had done. It's mm-hmm. wild. But she doesn't seem resentful or angry at her mom for, you know, taking her to all of this. Like, you know, thinking of the book, I'm Glad My Mom Died. Obviously, that one is all about how, what is her name again? Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah, she like all felt a little bit opposite narrative.
Yeah, like she felt kind of pimped out by her mom. But it seems like Brittany and Lynn were in it together to the extent that she refers to her agent as our agent. This casting director referred my mom to our agent. And they decided I was ready for Mickey Mouse Club. So then she goes to Mickey Mouse Club. She quickly connects with Justin Timberlake. They had a sleepover and they played Truth or Dare and Someone Dared Justin to Kiss Me. A Janet Jackson song was playing in the background.
Can you believe?
LOL. I know.
But Taylor Swift invented accidental Easter eggs from her early collection. I mean,
so funny. So
the
funny.
The pre-scandal.
And once again, who's sending these 11-year-olds to a co-ed sleepover?
I mean, the whole thing. And like they're 10, 11, and they were all already smoking cigarettes.
I know. So funny. I mean, I did a lot of stuff early and I was rebellious, but 13 smoking cigs is so hilariously like a different story. It's so funny.
No, I literally think COVID has actually introduced you all and myself to my most rebellious years yet. I'm not even kidding.
Really? You were not a reb?
No, I just fucked.
Mm.
But I was not a reb at all. No, that's hard to believe. Like I was like,
well, you were like theater kid, I guess.
I was just like a really good kid. Like,
yeah.
Like I would offer to DD like it once I got my license, which took years. But like, yeah, I was just like a not responsible. Like I definitely like drank, but I didn't try cigarettes literally until COVID.
What?
I didn't have a cigarette until COVID.
Oh my God. I thought you had relapsed during COVID.
No, I never smoked a cigarette in my life.
I smoked cigs in high school. I thought it was cool.
Not the one. I didn't smoke pot in high school. I didn't smoke cigarettes and I only started drinking like, you know, my junior and senior year. And actually I didn't like beer, which is what everybody drank. And so I would sneak out at parties and I would dump it in the bushes.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I was like inhaling beer. I was obsessed with drinking in high school. Like loved it.
I was just fucking.
Love it. So she loves the Mickey Mouse Club. She says it was a terrific experience. It got my feet wet in TV. Performing on that show ignited me. From then on, I knew I wanted to do what I did there, singing and dancing. Her castmates, this is where she says they're going off to New York and LA, but I decided to go to Kentwood. Already within me was a push-pull. Part of me wanted to keep building toward the dream. The other part wanted to live a normal life in Louisiana. For a minute, I had to let normalcy win. So I guess she's saying this ignited something, or it made her feel the push-pull. I didn't think she still had that, but I guess maybe she does, and we'll find out more about that later, because I don't know. I didn't think she really cared that much to live a normal life, but I guess she does now just want to have a normal life with her kids, and they won't let her.
Right. Well, and I also think that that was part of it, that like that's I think even part of the childhood stuff too. Like obviously the abuse and the father drinking stuff is really like not a happy time in her life, but I think she makes a point of it to say like even though things were obviously difficult at times, like I have really fond memories. Like she is like she didn't hate the dairy farm. She actually liked it. She just was like, I gotta get out of here. My dad is totally blotto. And my mom is like, there's too much chaos.
Yeah. She doesn't even, I don't even think she feel like she has one line where she's like, I loved going to the beach with my mom and drinking daiquiris with her. Even amid the darkness, my childhood had a lot of really fun moments. Like, I don't even think she had a drive to leave her family behind because of how chaotic it was. I think she just had a drive to perform. Like, I don't think there was even a, like, I don't even think it was about lifestyle or money or anything like that. It was just like, this is what I love to do. Even
and I also think it also seemed like that was one of the things that in that environment made everybody happy.
Yeah. And she's so adamant not to present herself as a victim, it seems so far. She talks about being at, her bad friend's house, the one who introduced her to cigarettes. And she had a crush on a guy who was always hanging out there. He was 18 or 19 and he had a girlfriend at the time. One night I was sleeping over at my bad friend's house with and she's only like 11 here. And with no warning, the guy I had a crush on snuck into the house in the middle of the night. It must have been 3 a.m. I was sleeping on the couch and I woke up to him sitting next to me. He started kissing me and we were fully making out on the couch. And you think it's going to go into this like trauma story, but then she's like, it was sweet. That was all he did. He didn't try anything else. I just really loved how she was like, she just is like, yeah, this guy was way too old and made out with me, but whatever.
Again, I think the lack of affect, like there were some things that were really traumatizing. Other things, I was just boy crazy. And she's not trying. I think it's an effort to not try to make anything more than it was. This is just what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will strengthen whatever argument she makes later on about actually being exploited and objectified and treated in a way she didn't want to be.
Because in this case, she didn't feel that way. So she knows the difference.
So remember her voice, how different it sounded when they would play those clips on Behind the Music?
I'm Britney Spears. It's all really throaty, but she's going for it.
When she went to see the executives in New York City, she sang Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing. You cannot even imagine her voice now singing that. I don't know. She doesn't go into the decision that led to her banging the Mickey Mouse voice, you know?
And no, I think she does. She talks about how she's working on that first album. She was working with Max on the day that they were actually going to lay down the tracks for Baby, Baby. She purposefully stayed up all night and chain smoked all night because she wanted her voice to sound raspier and sexier. She was like, it's going to sound cooler and like more R&B and a little bit darker if I don't.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the higher register sort of sexy baby kind of singing versus the belting that she does in those younger clips. And that's what I'm interested in knowing. And there's been a narrative in the really hardcore Britney fandom that was a conscious choice to have her sing in the sexy baby voice and that she didn't want to. And these guys made her. So I want to know what the truth is. It's interesting because it is. I mean, her voice that she ended up singing in for all of her hits is so iconic. I mean, it's a better, way better choice that she did use that sing in that register, you know, like she wouldn't have been. I mean, Christina Aguilera was the belter and Britney was the, you know, so it just makes more sense that she did that. It made her more iconic, but I want to know why.
Well, I think it probably, if anything, she does mention that both she and Christina didn't get on MMC their first years because they were just like too young. But actually, when they were on MMC, Mickey Mouse Club, for those who don't know, they were roommates because they were paired together because they were the same age. And I think she probably just was like, oh, that girl does that thing. So I'm just going to, like, because at that time, she wasn't in baby voice then. She was just a baby. But she was very, like,
yeah.
She was, like, Miss Charisma. She was dance. Britney out-danced Aguilera, and she out-charismed Aguilera. And she knew even then that was going to be Aguilera's world.
Yeah, that's a good interpretation, and it definitely makes sense. You want to know something really funny? When I was getting my C-section last week, do you know there was this new commercial for Just Eat, the delivery app that came out with Christina Aguilera and the rapper Latto in it.
Oh, and it's like I didn't know that.
They sing this song and the song is about ordering food from a delivery app, but it's really good. And they have this like really high budget music video. I don't know if maybe it's only in the UK, but for some reason, a lot of the time of the super traumatic, I mean, it wasn't traumatic in a lasting way, but it was terrifying at the time. Like experience of having an emergency C-section, the Christina Aguilera vocal runs from this Just Eat commercial were stuck in my head.
Oh, that's so, now I'm gonna have to listen.
I have to send it to you.
Did you feel like it like got you through?
No, I just think I was having like a little bit of a mental breakdown. And my
like
brain,
every time you were like breathing, it was like,
yeah, it was like, yes. And just weirdly replaying things from the last 12 hours, like the night before had been a rugby game and one of the rugby players for Ireland, his name's Bondayaki. And that also kept playing in my head over and over again, just the name Bondayaki. And
oh
like,
God.
I was just like on the brink of insanity, losing it. And those were like the two things that just kept popping into my head while I was like, am I going to die? Is my baby going to be okay? So now I feel even closer to Christina Aguilera as a result of that.
And Molly's not okay with this, but I want to say join the Patreon because whenever we get into it, next, I would love to talk about the astrology and the story behind your emergency C-section, because it's so astrologically interesting. I was waiting, watching, and it's perfect. Your baby picked the time, and it was
I know perfect. I would love to do it. See, the thing is, like, I really, really wanted to go into labor spontaneously, and if I had, so I went to 41 weeks and one day. If I had said it's okay, I'll be induced at 40, like, all of the shit that went wrong probably wouldn't have happened, which is wild. But she needed to be a Scorpio moon.
I was just gonna say, you wanted a Scorpio moon more.
I know. No, that's not true. I wanted to have a quote unquote natural birth more. That's what I was really, really, really hoping for. And like, really.
Right. Kinda... But you were like, I'm not going to say anything until the Scorpio moon, if anything.
Yeah. No, I do love it though, because she'll have a really great emotional connection with her dad, who's also a Scorpio moon. But it's
and
just
honestly, Will Smith has an incredible career.
Yeah. I would love for her.
I said the stars are going to be the kids are going to be stars. We're set for life with this chart.
Yeah. Great. I'm good. I'm really, really happy about that. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, maybe I can be a stage mom. Maybe, you know, maybe
their agent.
Yes. Lynn is not the one who fucked her up. Jamie is.
Jamie.
Maybe there is a way to be a wholesome stage mom. No, I'm going to journal.
Honestly,
on it,
no. But... You know who is? Beyonce is, actually.
Yes, Tina Knowles.
Tina and Beyonce are both, I think, stage moms with heart.
Yeah, I do want to do a birth episode though, because I think I just want to put it out there what happened and how everything went, because while I was getting ready to give birth, I was like furiously searching for people's birth stories on like podcasts and stuff like that. And it is something really helpful that people like mm-hmm. to hear. And a lot of the ones that people talk about are the ones that go exactly to plan. And I think it would be good to do one to talk about what happened. But this is just all sidetracked, just because the Christina thing made me think of the ridiculousness of laying there with someone elbow deep in my internal organs. And in my head is just, and I'm like, what? The Just Eat commercial? Like,
yeah, but that's why you pay the big bucks for advertising, because like, boy, did that work.
It did. So, okay, back to Britney. I had to highlight, she's met Max Martin and she's recording songs for her first album. I had to highlight, I flew to Sweden to record songs, but I barely registered the difference between there and New Jersey. I was just in another booth. I was like, nicest thing anyone's ever said about New Jersey.
It's just like
Stockholm. It is exactly like Stockholm.
Stockholm syndrome. Once you get into the music industry, you're truly confused.
Yeah, both from New Jersey. So
it wasn't assault. He was just an adult. It's like, okay, 11-year-old. But no, I can't tell you how proud I was that she was like, first of all, I love that she like kind of trashed LA like the whole time. She was like, no matter what we think about her Calabasas driving days, she's like, I love the New York artists. I love being a New York talent. And they would drive me to New Jersey to record. I was like, wow. I've never been so proud. And I've never loved Britney more than when she was like, I might as well have been in New Jersey. It's like, yeah, remember that, everybody. We got corn. We got tomatoes.
If you just stay in a sound booth the whole time, it will feel exactly like Sweden.
You don't know where you are.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah, so this is when she's saying, I would stay in the studio as long as I could. If anyone wanted to leave, I would say it wasn't perfect. And right. She says Max Martin listened to her. When I said I wanted more R&B in my voice, less straight pop, he knew what I meant and he made it happen. Yep. And now I love when we go into the Baby One More Time music video, because we've all known for years that they wanted to do this corny animated video and it was so going to be so stupid. And Britney was like, no. It needs to be me and my friends.
Wait, for any of us that I actually don't know what you mean. It was supposed to be an animated?
Yeah, they wanted to do she says the label came to me with a concept for the Baby One More Time video in which I would play a futuristic astronaut. The mock-up I saw had me looking like a Power Ranger. It's kind of funny because that sounds like the Oops, I Did It Again video.
I was just going to say, actually, that was just for later.
Yeah, but I thought, I don't know, I always thought the lore around it was that it was supposed to be animated as well. And she just thought it was really corny and she was like, no. I had a feeling my audience wouldn't relate to it. The image didn't resonate with me. I told the executives at the label that I thought people would want to see my friends and me sitting at school bored. And then as soon as the bell rang, boom, we'd start dancing. Now, this to me is like, thank God she went back to Kentwood for a couple years of high school and had the normal boring, mundane experience of sitting there waiting for the bell to ring. Because if she hadn't had that experience and it didn't inform how this video was made, like if she had, if it had been an astronaut concept, the song wouldn't have been as big. It just simply would not have been as big. Like it was all about the, like the song is incredible and the video pushed it over the edge. Don't you think?
1000%. I remember the day that it came out, we were waiting with bated breath to request it over and over and over again on the box so that we could learn the dance. Mm. And what I think is really cool about that story too, is that she talks about how, okay, so then they made it like a schoolgirl thing, her idea. They weren't exploiting her. She thought that would be cool because that's what she wore. She went to parochial school and she was like, I know, why don't we do casual clothes outside? So there's a stark contrast between when we're in school versus when we're out of school. And everyone was like, okay,
that was that's so smart for a 15-year-old, a 15-year-old to be like, this is how we're going to tell this story visually with the wardrobe and with the, I don't know. I just was like, she really never got the credit that she deserved. It's
never.
So crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, that's the kind of thing that you like learn in film school. Like, here's how to tell a visual story, you know? And she just innately knew it for her first music video ever.
Well, that's kind of why I bought the Jada book too, because I was like, wait a second, like we are programmed to not give women credit and I would like to try.
I know. Now I'm coming around as well. I don't know. You have to tell me how it is.
Give her a chance. I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll fit.
Yeah.
As if I've ever briefed anything.
Yeah. So she compares performing. It wasn't about posing and smiling. I was like a basketball player driving down the court because she used to be the point guard. I had ball sense and street sense. I was fearless. I knew when to take my shots. I love comparing her dance to athleticism because that is the way that
is what it is.
It's always been so athletic. I always think she never gets enough credit for not overtly, but sort of covertly being a body posi, sort of body positive at a time when everyone was heroin chic skinny. Britney was out here talking about how she does 1,000 crunches a day to get abs, which is also really over the top, but at least her mindset, like Britney was never talking about dieting or lacking anything. It was like, I'm an athlete. I'm a dancer. I'm working out and I'm fueling my body and I'm strong. She was muscular. Like she looked healthy. And I just think she never got any credit for that because it was really cool.
100%. And also, like, you know, again, we don't need to fast forward too much. They didn't even get to this. And I don't even think she mentioned it, but like they would do those like celebrity basketball games. Like she and JT would play and like she would sink shots. She's an athlete.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome. So let's read some. She goes into some stats. By the end of September, the song was on the radio. I was 16 when on October 23rd, 1998, which I'm like, oh my God, they came so close to being, what would that be? The 25th anniversary of Baby One More Time. If they had released this book yesterday, but instead they released it today, October 24th.
Wait, I didn't even put that together. Like, October 23rd, 1998. I'm pulling up the chart. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. I'm like, why didn't they just release it one day earlier? Like, do they have to release books on Tuesday or something? Is that just the way it is in the publishing industry? I don't know.
I'm going to observe this chart further, but I already have some ideas of why.
Yeah. It would have been 25 years on the dot. That it's just wild.
That actually is fucking wild.
Right. October 23rd, 1998, the single hit stores. The next month, the video premiered and suddenly I was getting recognized everywhere I went. On January 12th, 1999, the album came out and sold over 10 million copies very quickly. This is all just on the strength of how awesome that song and video were. Like I don't think it was it wasn't a different time of the music industry when they marketed the shit out of people and they did tee people up for success. But that is really so insane to sell 10 million copies of your first album. I debuted number one on the Billboard 200 chart in the US. I became the first woman to debut with the number one single and album at the same time. I was so happy and I could feel my life start to open up. I didn't have to perform in malls anymore. Then she tours with NSYNC and
she's reconnected with her childhood friend and first kiss. Or I guess not first kiss. Well, yes, first kiss.
I don't know if he was her first kiss. I don't know if she said that or not.
I think she did. I think it was like there were like 10 on Mickey Mouse Club. And then she like then made out with the boy.
Yeah.
When she went home. I don't know. Something like that. An early kiss.
She touches on the David LaChapelle Rolling Stone cover where she's hugging the Teletubby. And it was controversial because it played up how young she was and how sexy she was. Again, very Lillian. My mother seemed concerned. Lillian. Yeah, my mother seemed concerned, but I knew that I wanted to work with David LaChapelle again. It's so funny. My mother seemed concerned. Like, I mean, it's...
Well, because they were probably both drunk, being like, you think it's a good idea, Brittany?
I know. And it's
You sure you want your sexy tit? You sure you want your titties out there?
Like, was her mom even on the set? Who was making the call? You know, like, it just seems like she was given so much freedom and agency as a minor. It's wild. It's
and then
so...
anything you've ever seen of Felicia, like who I said that like I trust Felicia. She's the only one I trust. But you know, Felicia was like, as long as Britney's alive, I'm doing my job.
Right, because she wasn't her parent. Was it her place to step in and be like, this is too sexy? Not really.
I just gotta make sure she gets home every night.
I know, and it's just so funny that like just by being herself, just by making the artistic choices that she wanted to make, she would literally like set the world on fire just with magazine covers. Like everyone would be talking about it for days on end, you know.
This is why Sagittarians, the biggest fire they can catch, that's why Sagittarians are the greatest pop stars.
Yeah, why? Explain.
Because it's the biggest fire. It's like, it's not like a, you know, Aries is like the spark, Leo is like the campfire, Sagittarius is like the forest fire.
Okay.
It has the power to change everything, transform everything really fast. Aries doesn't really, and Leo doesn't really. Sag does.
That's interesting.
Even if you look at the difference, what you were saying between Madonna and her journey, Madonna's such a Leo, but Leo's more of a campfire. Madonna had to work really hard to be noticed. Come to my campfire. Everybody like me. I can warm you. She had to do a lot of different versions of herself.
Yeah, Lucky Star was not her first single. She had a flop single before that. I think she was in a band for a little while. Like she was, yeah, it was not.
Like literally, she's so lucky that she's a star. Eh?
I don't think so. I think she would have been no matter what.
I was just trying to do a Britney lyric, but you know.
I know. It was good.
Just like from a Sag perspective, like you're so lucky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Madonna, and you don't got it. Like I got it.
I never realized she's so lucky she's a star is a play on
Madonna.
You must be my lucky star.
Yeah. Yeah. She has a lot of those. She's really like into music. She celebrates women. I mean, some of the names that she drops in this are iconic. I'm sure Madonna will come into it more. Like she is, I mean, we know because they LOL kissed, but like, yeah, like I think she pays homage and she's a real music fan and music lover. And I just feel like I love this fucking book.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's giving me such pangs of nostalgia. It's almost, it's painful.
I feel the same.
Do you know what I mean? It's hurting me. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go back to those days when
I know
just like the MTV, when MTV was kind of in its prime for us, at least, I guess some people would argue it had other primes, but
like, yeah, she TRL. Was a regular on TRL. That's what she said. Like she started becoming a regular fan favorite on TRL. It's like, yeah, she actually did.
Yeah,
she was our favorite. She was our fucking favorite.
So much money was being poured into entertaining us.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yes. Yes.
The recording industry cared about getting our attention, and so there was just so many acts that were being groomed for stardom, groomed for more nefarious things. Unfortunately, that was a bad word choice, but I feel like now no one even tries to get the youth anymore. It's just kind of whatever surfaces on TikTok is going to be the thing.
The youth is getting the youth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why the industry has changed. It's like there isn't like some overlord that's like going to make anything happen. It's actually the uprising of the people thing.
Yeah, which is definitely good, has a lot of good aspects as well, for sure. It just seems like we need to connect the two. I mean, I think a lot of like kids coming up now who are really talented probably aren't being given the resources that Britney, Justin, and Saint
Christina
were given, because there's such a disconnect between what people are actually listening to and also the recording industry doesn't have any money anymore. It's like harder. It's the only way to really, really make money in the industry is touring, and you can't tour unless you're already huge. So we've kind of not had anybody huge come out besides Olivia Rodrigo in like 5-10 years. I mean,
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I also think this is all happening. I mean, I'm trying to put the dates together, but like, I think we had Britney Spears before we had like really, I mean, we had like CompuServe and like weird chat rooms we were entering, but like, we didn't really have the internet. There was no like, I think part of why the business was different is because it's like you'd go to the grocery store to get groceries, you'd go to the radio to get music. Like there was more of a system of how things became available to consumers. Whereas now, because of the internet, it's more of a free for all. Like I do wonder what Britney's career, I mean, her career would be very different now, you know? And And I don't know. It's interesting. I haven't thought about it. Maybe next step, put a little thought into it. But like, it is, it's like her charisma plus getting backed is like, in this case, was the sort of secret sauce. And it was just great timing, right place, right time. And yeah, I feel like she was so ahead. Like actually every act that they created afterwards when I think she was part of the leadership. I mean, so many, you could keep going with that stats list. So many of those lists were the business people were like, whoa, this was massively successful. Wait, we could just put together girl groups. We could like get a couple other girl stars going. Like we can make her Britney-esque. Like she literally was the
Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore, Willa Ford. You can go down the line, all these blonde girls that were trying that were just kind of pushed out to try and compete with Britney, and none of them really could. Christina put up a decent fight. Like Christina also was huge, obviously, and they didn't need to, or they weren't necessarily competing with each other overtly, but obviously their bosses and overlords were trying to, they were trying to make them compete, you know?
Totally. And go ahead.
Britney also came out at a perfect time for her to make an impact, which unfortunately was also the perfect time for her to be extremely controversial in some ways, because this era, the 2000s, was the peak virgin whore moment in culture, where we were sexually open enough to look at pictures of a 17-year-old with her midriff out looking sexy come hither on a bed. But we also still had this puritanical George Bush era attitude toward female sexuality, and we were extremely loud about our opinions about women, you know? It was like she didn't get into yet, and I don't know if she will or not, the whole virginity pledge thing, having to talk about whether or not she was a virgin and things like that.
She definitely will, because I think you got to 12, she talks about losing her virginity, and it was before Justin.
Yeah.
So she is going to get into it, because that's going to be, because like, right. So when you get to chapter 12, it sort of ends off with the abortion, which we'll get into, and then the breakup. And then we haven't moved past that yet. So we know that they haven't even bashed each other, even talked about it publicly yet.
Yeah. I just think she came out at the perfect time for her to be something that pop culture absolutely latched onto, because of her image, because of her sexual persona. Like she just was, it was the talent and it was what she represented in the culture. And that's unfortunate, because the cultural conversation around her often overshadowed, for us, it didn't overshadow her work, because we were the prime demo. We were who she was going after, you know, like we worshiped her. But the people that were older than us, the pop culture commentators, the late night hosts, for them, she was like a little toy to be batted around and say, here's what she represents about the culture. Here's why that's bad. Boo, Britney, you know? So that helped her career as well, even though I'm sure it was a big contributing factor to some of her, you know, heartache down the line and just her frustration down the line with the whole being famous thing.
Well, and you definitely have to join the Patreon, and you can let me know how much you want me to get into it now. But like, the astrology is fascinating. Like, for example, on this day, almost exactly 25 years ago, when Britney Jean released her single, Baby One More Time, on that day, the moon was exactly conjunct Pluto in Sagittarius to the degree on Britney's Mercury Lilith conjunction.
Wow.
So the moon, the emotional temperature of the day was conjunct Pluto, meaning that there was an emotional revolution happening in Sagittarius on Brittany's Lillian sun and voice. And October 23rd that day, October 24th this day, the sun is at 0-1 degree Scorpio, which is the degree of Brittany Jean's Jupiter expander coming out in a Scorpio way from underneath, continuing to work. We're about to come up, you know, into the last of the Taurus eclipses. Taurus is the start of something. It's the planting of the seeds. Scorpio is the energy to keep that work going so that you actually have a garden. And then even that garden might die, but regrow because of the Taurus Scorpio cycle. Every year when the sun ingresses into Scorpio, I bet if we look, October 23, 24 might be a big day for her in general, because that's where her Jupiter is. So that's a day where she's big. Brittany's Chiron, her wound, is in Taurus. Her Mars is in Virgo. She is a workhorse. She's here to work and keep working and keep farming. She could have been a geisha back in the day. She's always been the caged bird that has been either rejected or sought after in society. And it's sort of beyond her.
Wow. Wild.
She's also a Libra rising, which is why it's so easy for her. And exactly on her rising in Libra is Pallas Athena, the feminine wisdom, like strategy changer. She is literally here to be a new feminine strategy from the other life.
Wow. And people have only started picking up on, you know, this is going to sound insulting, but it's not meant to be, because the whole point is that people are reclaiming the term. But the whole thing where like bimbo culture became really popular a year or two ago, and now we're allowed to be feminine and sexy and smart, which we were not in the 2000s. That was absolutely not part of the deal for women. So
that's right.
She did spearhead that.
She Britney spearheaded it.
Yes. She was one of many. One of many blondes we have to thank. I would say Holly Madison is another one in there. Definitely we're all appreciating that sort of archetype and genre of woman these days. So now we're getting into her relationship with Justin. She says NSYNC was what people back then called So Pimp, which was hilarious.
I guess like that's where I want a little bit more from Michelle. Like, I wish she had done that with a little bit more of, like, an eye roll.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah.
They were known as So Pimp. The Backstreet Boys were whitewashed artists, but NSYNC.
That was really confusing.
Wait, hold on, what? Hold on.
It was like, they were white boys, but they loved hip hop. To me, that's what separated them from the Backstreet Boys, who seemed very consciously to position themselves as a white group. I did not get that impression. I think definitely the NSYNC guys were speaking in a bit of an Ariana Grande style AAVE accent that they did not really lay claim to in any real way. But a lot of young white musical artists for some reason decide to go that route for a little while before thinking better of it and realizing that they're not black. But
like, black excellence in music was really present. The beats are way better when we get Timbaland involved. Wait, actually, like, Beyonce was blowing up too. Like,
that's always been the case ever since.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Motown.
That is like sort of music. Yeah, that's sort of music.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Like, music is more of a meritocracy where they have,
yeah,
like, the establishment has not been able to silence black artists in the way that maybe in other industries they do. But I never thought that NSYNC. I don't know.
I mean, I would have never called them like the. I think she's like they're like the black white group. It's like wait. If anything, they were just like
appropriating.
Right. Like if this is even true, it's just cultural appropriation, which obviously was not a conversation back then whatsoever. But
I guess she was trying to say like I thought they had good taste.
Yeah, and she thought they were cool. And also B2K would like to have a word. B2K existed. They were the actual black boy band.
There were a few.
Remember them?
Of course I remember them. And Blackstreet.
Blackstreet.
No Diggity. And Boys to Men were, I guess, were, no. I mean, they were more like R&B.
Britney, yeah, they were
and
R&B.
NSYNC did say, like, we don't want to be, like, Christian music.
Yeah, and like, melding the genres, which is really cool and great. And but nowadays, it would be, I don't know, it's like, what's the line between that and cultural appropriation that is, like, very boring conversation that we all have to have nowadays, but it's also relevant. It's important.
It is important. I think it comes down to education and talent. Like sometimes like I'll be scrolling on Instagram and I will see like an obese gay, like 5'8" white guy rapping the most incredible lyric poetry I've ever fucking heard. And I love it. And it's just like, that's not like he may be inspired by, but he has talent.
And he's like being respectful and he's doing it because he loves the medium and he's not necessarily taking a place away from a more deserving black artist. Like that's the huge thing,
right?
And I think like correct. Ariana Grande has definitely walked the line of too much spray tan. What is that accent? And now she's white again.
Well, she's going the other way with it. She took a page from the Kardashian playbook and she was like, oh, actually, give me a puny white guy and take me home.
Yeah, that's her voice now. She talks like that's this it. Now.
I'm like worried about her a little bit. Like she's literally never seemed more 75 years old. Real. She went from being like 13 to 80.
Yeah, yeah. Something's going on.
Something is not right.
Yeah. So then she does make fun of Justin because they were walking in New York, her, Justin, and Felicia, and Ginuwine walks up. And he says,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Justin says, oh, yeah, fo shiz, Ginuwine. What's up, homie? After Ginuwine walked away, Felicia did an impression of Justin. I wasn't even embarrassed. He just took it and looked at her like, okay, fuck you, Fee. That was the trip when he got his first necklace, a big T for Timberlake. Oh, God, what a cringe man. What a cringe man.
That's, again, I'll just send you the audio of Michelle doing it because you never thought you'd hear Michelle. Fushes.
I need to hear that fushes.
You need to hear that fushes, and I want to know if you actually think that fushes still up for any god.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth getting the audiobook just to discuss.
I know. I also have to say, during that time period, I am positive that I said fushes.
Oh, fushes.
You know, like, there but for the grace of God go I.
There but for the grace of God go is.
Yeah, exactly. So like, as fun as it is to make fun of him, I don't want to like let he without sin cast the first stone, because we were all doing that kind of shit back then.
Is Justin to blame?
No, we were all, it was Snoop Dogg made it up, and then like white kids in the suburbs adopted it en masse. Like that's the trend cycle, you know what I mean?
We got to do a deep dive on Snoop Dogg too. That man stays relevant.
Yeah, he does.
He's iconic.
He's interesting. He's an interesting guy.
Love him, and I love him and Marty's relationship.
Yeah, it's funny. So then she's talking about how MTV, after she did her Oops, I Did It Again, I Can't Get No Satisfaction mashup at the VMAs. So iconic. So amazing. MTV sat me down in front of a monitor and made me watch strangers in Times Square give their opinions of my performance. Some of them said I did a good job, but an awful lot of them seemed to be focused on my having worn a skimpy outfit. They said I was dressing too sexy and setting a bad example for kids. I hate when people say that women are supposed to be role models for kids. It's such a red herring, because it's like, what kids? What are you talking about? What is the danger? Is the danger that the kid is going to wear a skimpy outfit? Okay, then what? What's the issue with a teenage girl wearing a skimpy outfit? Men could get the wrong impression and take advantage of her. Isn't that the man's fault? Why is that the girl's fault? And why is it Britney Spears' fault?
And I also think, again, the tone of this book really works, because she makes it clear, even in the David LaChapelle shoot, she's not like, I felt so sexy. When you see little girls walking around in the summer, they're wearing tube tops and short shorts.
Like, right. And we were back then, too. And I hate
this. Absolutely. And it wasn't because of Britney. She just looked better than us in it.
Yeah. I hate this new narrative that girls today look so much older. No. Every teenage girl in the history of mankind, not every, but there's always been so many teen girls that are trying to look older, wearing makeup, letting their bellies hang out. Like, it's not a new phenomenon. It's just a tale as old as time. And back in the day, you were getting married at 13. So it's just like the idea that teenage girls are supposed to be buttoned up and covered up is actually a pretty new invention, you know?
Not to mention that the only difference is that Britney Spears was like making a name for herself and we were all singing with her. But like, I did watch the Supermodels doc on Apple TV and it's like they were all discovered except for maybe Evangelista because she like worked. She like wanted to be, you know, but like all of the other ones were like discovered when they were 14. And they were doing tons of risque shit. They just weren't, it wasn't like, at the time, it wasn't like, did you see Christy Turlington in that jeans ad? It's like, no, she was just like a model doing a jeans ad.
Because they looked older. Because teenage girls have always been able to look older if they want to. And no one knew who they were or what their names were. They just thought, oh, wow, what a beautiful 30-year-old sophisticated woman. And it's like, no, dude, that's a teenager. I always say,
And also, I think it's also our cultural standards, too. As adult women who are buying the jeans, it's like, I wish I could fit into my 13-year-old jeans again.
Yeah. And we don't, I mean, it's so unfair because we also don't internalize how young these models are. And they're presented as adults that are our age. And like the worst is with maternity clothing and stuff because they take those 17, 18-year-olds and they put a moon bump on them. And you're looking at it and you're like, wait, but I'm 35 and 5'2". Why am I looking at this like girl that should be in algebra class wearing a fake bump in this outfit? This is so messed
like Mormon
up.
it's like Mormon chic. No, but the other piece too is that we're really
why is it Mormon chic?
Because they don't get knocked up when they're like teenagers.
Oh, a lot of people get knocked up when they're teenagers.
Well, sure, but like I don't know, I feel like I don't know, I picture sister wives being all lined up with their bumps and the kids put bump. I will cut it. No, cut it. But no, I would say too, the annoying thing, like I think, yeah, red herring is one way to put it. I think it's also just scapegoating. It's like at the end of the day, if we really want to talk about the bad influence, it actually was Lynn and Jamie Spears. Britney's like dressing sexy. I've been drinking since I was 12. She's smoking cigarettes and drinking before she got her period. I mean, she doesn't know. She's not trying to influence anybody to do anything. She was pre-influenced to act older than she was from the beginning.
Yeah, she's just
literally being herself.
Being yourself. And there's no like police department that comes and makes sure every famous person is, you know, doing the right role model things. And also the worst thing is when you see clips of men who were famous at that time, specifically Eminem, talking about what bad role models these women are. And it's like, you have a song on your album about killing your wife and putting her body in the trunk of the car, right? Like literally the most violent fantasies he would rap about. And yes, it's a fantasy. It's art. It's not real life. But we want to talk about bad role model. I mean, that's so much worse than just being an innocent girl dancing around, maybe being a little sexy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not harmful to people. The harmful thing is the men that take that as license to assault people, which is also a very small minority of men, but that's what we're all fighting against. Like, that's what we're allegedly, why we're covering up our bodies is because of a very small minority of men who are going to act like do criminal things. It's like, why, what?
Not to mention a lot of the language that she was using to remember certain, like when she was talking about the David LaChapelle shoot, she was saying that like the spread was this and the headline was like inside the mind, spirit and bedroom of a 16-year-old regular teenager who's now a pop star. It's like, she didn't say, let me bring you into my bedroom. That was the editors. She didn't write that. That was written about her. She could have been in her room with the, holding the Teletubby. And even if just the headline were different, the reaction from the public might have been different.
And like, do you think, I think it was about the photo though. Do you think David LaChapelle's kind of a dick for taking that picture? I mean, what kind of grown man is
everybody
like,
at this time?
Yeah, everyone. I mean, yeah, it was cultural at the time, but I think even
and
at
we
that
loved
time,
it. She made us feel normal for wearing bras too now.
Yeah, but I think No,
I mean,
one
he's a creepy dude. I think he's a creepy dude. But
yeah, no one got mad at him for it. And it's like, no, you're the guy who came up with this concept and said, let's have her hold a stuffed animal and give a come hither look. It's like, you're the fucking weirdo. And yes, it's art and he's making a comment on the Lolitification of this girl who is just a normal teenager. But
the Lolitification actually was normal for her either way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, why didn't anyone? I just think if you're going to get mad at anyone, get mad at him. You know?
Certainly.
Yeah, I really liked that she talked about people taking shots at her saying she wasn't authentic. She says, I was never quite sure what all these critics thought I was supposed to be doing, a Bob Dylan impression.
So funny.
Really funny. I was a teenage girl from the South. I signed my name with a heart. I liked looking cute. Why did everyone treat me, even when I was a teenager, like I was dangerous? It's because you're Lilith's conjuncture son.
It's
Britt.
Because you're Lillian's granddaughter with Lilith on your son and your Mercury.
And
the day that you were released, the moon was with Pluto, the underworld, bringing you up from underneath to set the world on fire as this archetypal woman. Also, that's what I was saying before. Pallas Athena is exactly on her rising in Libra. So it's like everybody's in love with her and she just changes conversation and the way that we think about things and the strategy moving forward because she just is innately powerful as a feminine dark goddess.
Yeah, you just can't.
Which is not a bad thing. Which is not a bad thing. We whatever you think dark goddess means, it doesn't mean we're not insulting her. It's just a power center for the feminine that has been repressed and feared and rejected from society because actually everybody wants to fuck us so bad.
She says, no one could seem to think of me as both sexy and capable or talented and hot. If I was sexy, I must be stupid. If I was hot, I couldn't possibly be talented. This is really the message that was jammed down our throats as adolescents during this time. Mm-hmm. And then she says that her real hair color is black.
Now that. I mean, I sort of have a hard time believing that on Mickey Mouse Club, they were like, I know, make it a mousy brown because it's a Mickey Mousy Club. But like. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
I
it
mean,
was
Lynn
brown.
Has dark hair, so maybe it was a darker brown or something, and they give it highlights. You know what I mean? It's like Ariana Grande wasn't a natural Kool-Aid. You know, I feel like when you're on TV at a young age, you don't really maybe you don't know what color your hair is.
When my hair was super blonde, my roots looked black, even though my roots are strawberry blonde, dirty blonde. Like,
my hair
is not dark at all. It's very light. It's not even brown, but it looked black when I was super platinum blonde just because of the contrast. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think she's a natural
dark.
Certainly brunette. Certainly brunette. Right. But I think her hair was dyed. So that, right. I actually think that is the best theory we've gotten so far. Yeah. That she was like, whoa.
Yeah. It's just the contrast next to the super duper blonde.
Yeah, totally.
So that's important to address.
Yeah, only the most hard-hitting stuff here at Space Trash Podcast.
Yeah, the really interesting thing also in this era is how quickly she kind of just bounces through all of these huge moments in her career, but also how absent her parents are. And when Oops, I Did It Again came out, around the time of my first world tour for Oops, I was able to build my mom a house and settle my father's debts. I wanted to give them a clean slate. And where are they in all this? You never hear of them being around. And I think that's on purpose. Like you said, she's showing, not telling. And I don't know, it's just really interesting. And she also reveals that around this time she started taking Prozac because she needed to protect her heart from criticism and keep the focus on what was important. I started reading religious books like Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh.
Again, now I want to say, side note, one of my favorite books of all time. I recommend it to all of my clients. I don't think anybody reads it. And if anything, I highly recommend it in the audio version because it switches from two different narrators. One of them is Diane Weist, who plays the feminine god. And there's also a masculine god. And it's one of the most profound. They make you read it in life coaching school. It's incredible.
Oh, well, it's about to go to the bestseller list, I'm sure, because finally,
I have been telling everybody.
I know every girl, gay and they is going to be buying Conversations with God and a pack of Virginia Slims and sitting
Thank
there.
God, I'm fucking back, baby.
Yeah. And she started taking Prozac. So this is, I guess, that, again, very spare presentation of that information. Just I also started taking Prozac. I think you're right. We are going to hear more about
every drug,
her medical journey.
Well, because the way that she's setting this up is totally flat. So there's no judgment around any of it, which I think is really healthy, actually. It's just like, this is what it was at the time. She's literally just giving us bullet points of here are the facts. And I love it for that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, she only had a week to get ready for the 2001 Super Bowl halftime show with Aerosmith, Mary J. Blige, Nelly, and NSYNC. She's incredible.
She's incredible.
1 week to prepare for that. It was one of the best performances ever. It was just so sweet, so adorable. And then another thing that really could have gone south but didn't, she's brought to Steven Tyler's trailer to meet him right before the show. And his energy was incredible. He was such an idol to me. I was like, whew, okay, good.
What year was this? What year around was that? Do we remember?
2001.
Okay, got it.
Then she does Crossroads. How funny was this? She started method acting without knowing what that was. She really became this other person, this girl named Lucy. When the camera came on, I was her. And then I couldn't tell the difference between when the camera was on and when it wasn't. I know that seems stupid, but it's the truth. She was someone else for months while filming Crossroads. Still to this day, I bet the girls I shot that movie with think she's a little quirky. If they thought that, they were right. And then one day, she and her friend go to CVS in LA. I swear to God, I walked into the store, and as I talked to my friend while we shopped, I finally came back. When I came outside again, I was cured of the spell that movie had cast. It was so strange. My little spirit showed back up in my body. That trip to buy makeup with a friend was like waving some magic wand.
That, like, makes so much sense, though, why, like, anytime she gets any freedom or that we've ever seen her get any freedom, she's like, I gotta go to Starbucks and CVS now. Yes. It's like, take me to a convenience store now. Yes. Whatever pharmacy is closest.
It's like in Everything Everywhere All at Once, how they, like, the one thing they have to do to always, like, center themselves. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And then she says she was pissed because she thought, what was I doing for the past few months? Who was I? Then the Notebook casting comes down to her and Rachel McAdams.
Could you believe that?
I know. And she says, even though it would have been fun to reconnect with Ryan Gosling after Mickey Mouse Club, I'm glad I didn't do it. If I had, instead of working on my album for In the Zone, I'd have been acting like a 1940s heiress day and night. That would have been fun too, Britt.
But also, like, how different would the Notebook have been if Britney were in it?
I don't think...
I would love to do just like a parody, like, trailer. Let's write like a parody trailer remix.
Yeah, I have
like
to
what
say
the trailer would be.
I trust Britney's instincts. I don't think it would have worked.
Oh, I mean, that, yeah, she didn't blow it there. That would have been, that would have felt way more toxic love looking back than we could even possibly imagine.
It would have been high camp. I will say that it would have, but it would have gone down like the old Miley Cyrus and what's his face movies. Because those were also Nicholas Sparks. Like, The Notebook is a classic of the genre. It's the only one that has stood the test of time. And I think that it has to be exactly what it is. If it had been a Britney vehicle, I think it would have been still huge, obviously, because she was huge. But I don't
but it would
think...
have been it would have been more Crossroads.
It would have been a different animal. Yeah.
And I also think just in general, I wouldn't pair Gosling and Spears as like an on-screen duo.
No. And she is not a person that's believable in the 40s because she is so...
Right.
She is so 21st century. Like, they say Instagram face. That's what they call it. Like, she doesn't have Instagram face. She has whatever is the predecessor to that, where if you put her in any period piece, I don't think it would work. Maybe 60s. Maybe she could be a 60s housewife. But, like,
well,
she
actually,
just has
it's kind
a face
of interesting.
That's so of this moment.
Well, it's interesting that the people that she was working with at the beginning, first instinct for her, it eventually came along with the Oops, but they were like futuristic because actually, I mean, even in the book, she talks about like some of the shoots where she would get to dress up in different characters. Like, she loved being like the 50s housewife, but like specifically like in the You Drive Me Crazy video, for example, it's like she's got those like kinky pigtails. Like, she couldn't look any different than literally the moment from whence she burst through, because that is what she's here to do.
Yeah, she's not a chameleon.
Nope.
Not even close. So then she talks about how she turned down Chicago, and that I think would have been cool.
Huge mistake. I agree with that regret there, yeah.
Yeah, she said, I wish...
Because she has the voice. That's not a challenging vocal show either, and she really could do that Fosse movement. Like,
yeah, I mean, Erica Jean did it.
She can fucking isolate, though. Like, she can really isolate her muscles, and that is very rare to really do that well.
It would have been so cool. She says,
she still could. Like, I feel like if that comes out of this and she does a guest stint on Broadway, that would be so full circle.
Oh, they would make millions.
No, that would literally be Britney's version of Romeo, Take Me. I think I should be with a football player. But you know what it is, too? I think part of Britney's appeal, too, was pre-Taylor Swift. Where Britney, when she was on TRL and when she was like, you felt like you knew her, like she was so kind to everybody that she met. She really was like the original, like, fan, like, like fandom creator, because we all were just like, she's my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. She was just a good gal. So now, okay, finally we get to the abortion. Why was Brittany living in Orlando? This is my first question.
Right.
Why were Brittany and Justin living at the peak of their fame and pop culture mastery as a power couple of our generation living in Orlando?
I just feel like they wanted to be Southern. They wanted to be in the sunshine. I also think at the time in Orlando, like, they were both signed with Disney on some level. Weren't they just doing a lot? I feel like Disney was like,
not
big.
Anymore. This is, she's still releasing.
What year was that?
She's working on Into the Zone now. She's completely free from Disney. And so is he. Mm. There's no reason for them to live in Orlando. I think
ultimately it's because, like, in terms of like who they are as people, like, they might just like have bad taste.
Exactly. That's literally what I was going to say. Bad taste. Yeah. They just,
like, she's a star. Her creative instinct is good, but in terms of like her style, it's still not good.
So true.
Unfortunately. She's not going to go Victoria Beckham with this. No chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. So true. God love her. Yeah. And Orlando obviously is a happy place for them because they loved being on the Mickey Mouse Club. They live for the House of Mouse. So I guess,
like, they literally live for the House of Mouse. It's like, it's just so sad in a way. They're like, we just want to go home to Mickey.
Like, why Orlando? They must have had to leave every day. How often were they even there? All of entertainment is in New York and LA. What are you doing in Orlando? And even if you're going to live in Florida, why not Miami? Why not Palm Beach?
They're whiteies, and Orlando is the place where whites rule.
I'm really offended by that because I'm really white, and I would not be caught dead living Florida.
You would never choose Florida, period.
No, if I was living in New York and I had a lot of money, I could see thinking about becoming one of those people that goes down to Florida all the time, down to Miami, Palm Beach. Like,
This is what I do. Yeah, I mean, but you're also like a New Yorker, like Asbury, like, you know, like the Northeasterners know that we go to the left coast.
Yeah, I just feel like
it's called the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's the
St. Lucie to Miami is where, if you're cool, that's where you're going for.
Okay, yeah. I just think of
and Trump. Well,
white people slander is becoming too normalized. And I
want
to fight it at every turn.
I don't think either of them are like Irish Catholic either. I think they're just like pretty Presbyterian.
Yeah, they are Southern Protestant for sure.
Like, they're some offshoot of, like, they're not Christian fundamentalists and they're barely even Christians, but they definitely like went to Christian school and they
don't trust Catholics. Like, Catholic is
right,
sort
right.
of like a adjacent to Jewish to them. Like, it's an other to them.
Yes.
She goes into a little mention of Jamie Lynn here. She mentions Jamie Lynn a few times just in passing, saying how she was so adorable. She was the cutest little kid. But she also makes a reference to how spoiled she was.
Yes,
she
knows.
She says she was so cute. She had a little miniature red Mercedes. It was the cutest thing you could have ever seen. That's how we all were with Jamie Lynn. You see it, you like it, you want it, you got it. As far as I could tell, her world was the Ariana Grande song Seven Rings come to life.
But you want to know something? That is also her, though, paying homage to greats of the past, greats of the present, greats of, like, that's her saying, Ari, I see you. You're one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was kind of confused. She's like, when I was growing up, we didn't have any money, which, yes. But they did have money once in a while to have a housekeeper, which was really surprising to me because I was like, oh, wow. I guess it was the dad's gym business that was that successful.
Yes.
For a hot minute. But then she says, my prized possessions were my Madame Alexander dolls. I got my 15th doll. You would have thought I'd hit the lottery. I thought those were pretty expensive. I didn't have 15 Madame Alexander dolls.
I don't even know what a Madame Alexander doll is.
It was like a little douchey, kind of prissy collectible doll.
I mean, I also think it's important to remember that they were living in Kentwood. And, like, I don't know what the cost of living there is.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe more. You get more dolls in exchange for living in.
More dolls for the dollars.
Yes, 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 yes. She talks about the denim outfits of her and Justin, which she just thought it was so cute. And she said for her, it was sort of an homage to a mom dressing up all her kids in matching clothes to go to church. I was like, what a cute reason to do that. That is so adorable.
I like that it was like sort of similar to Beckham Doc. We're just going purple for the wedding. It's like sometimes if you're maybe in a great relationship, I hope someday that you and Nick look back on some matchy mashy bullshit where you're like, we were just so in love. We had no idea how we looked.
Oh, we had a photo shoot with the dog for my pregnancy. I mean, that's right. It.
Yeah, but I loved the moonshot.
Thank you. I know the moonshot was pretty cool.
But like, I would like to see his solar shot. Like if you show me a Nick standing in front of the sun shot, then I'll really put you in the same category. But until then, yeah. Costumes.
It was important to me to do something corny where I felt good for 5 minutes.
Dude, absolutely. You got to do it while you're pregnant. It's very rare.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Now, Justin cheated on her a couple of times.
She was okay with it. She was madly in love and they were pop stars.
I can't believe she was okay with it.
Her father and her grandfather and everybody in her family seemed to literally have a complete and utter lack of regard for women. She's like, of course men cheat.
Yeah, I guess. Photographers in 2000 caught him with one of the girls from All Saints in a car. Very classy of her not to actually name the woman.
Wait, but which one was All Saints? Was All Saints never had? Maybe that was about feeling guilty. Maybe that was feeling guilty. Like, sorry, we hurt you, Brittany. You're the realest. Never, ever, have ever felt so bad.
Yeah, maybe. Guilt. Maybe.
Guilt among them.
And she never said anything. At the time, we'd only been together for a year. How do you not even say a single thing? I'm dying to... This is where I wish there was a little bit more introspection, because I'm like, I want to know how and why you don't say anything. I want to understand that, because it's really interesting to me, because I say something if a guy I'm with looks at someone for more than 3 seconds. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what. Here's what I imagine. I imagine that because she did say like it was on every headline, like it was being reported. I'm sure that every time they went to the grocery store or the CVS, that they would see a headline and he would be like, don't listen to any of that. You're my number one. And she'd be like, yeah, I know.
Mm, yeah, maybe. Another time.
But wait, who was the one? Oh, you're about to bring it up. Who was?
Yeah,
the
this is a blind item that we have got to figure
dying
out.
To figure out.
Another time we were in Vegas and one of my dancers who'd been hanging out with him told me, good dancer, love you. He gestured toward a girl and said, yeah, man, I hit that last night. I don't want to say who he was talking about because she's actually very popular and she's married with kids now. I don't want her to feel bad. So who's very popular, married with kids, 20, famous already in about like 2001, 2002? Who?
I mean, I had a thought.
Who? Say it out loud.
Jessica Simpson.
I don't think she was big yet at that time.
Oh.
And I also don't think she would have been in a nightclub.
Actually, yeah, you're right. She was at Christian camp.
Yeah, she was under lock and key until she got married. Like, they were in Vegas. Who would have been in Vegas who's now very popular, married with kids?
In 2002, you said?
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, but she's not a pop star. I think she said
it doesn't have to be a pop star.
Wait, what? Read the sentence one more time.
He gestured toward a girl and said, yeah, man, I hit that last night. I don't want to say who he was talking about because she's very popular and she's married with kids now. I don't want her to feel bad. Also, Justin could have been lying is another thing because, yeah, man, I hit that last night. I don't believe anyone.
Yeah, totally. That
verbiage. I'm like, okay, sure.
Oh, I bet you I know who it is. Well, who? Actually, because I don't know who she would. I don't know who Brittany thinks is very successful now because she's like kind of in her own world.
She didn't say successful. She said popular.
Oh, well, but what's the difference, really? I mean,
there's a big difference. Brittany's got a big work ethic. I think to her, if it was someone successful, if it was like, you know, Oprah or Beyonce or someone with a real body of work, she would have said she's iconic now or like she's successful now. But very popular to me is like, oh, she's kind of an influencer now, like Jessica Alba. Honest Beauty is her real thing now. She's not really doing showbiz anymore, but she is popular. Cameron Diaz, very popular, not really working in her chosen field as much now. So that's why I'm thinking, like, to say if she's very popular to me is like she's kind of pivoted to influencing or just having side businesses. Reese Witherspoon.
I mean, I like to think Vegas Celine Dion, but probably not.
Oh, that would be
so funny.
She's very popular. Yeah, that's so funny.
She's popular. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, look at my breasts are small and humble, so don't confuse them with Britney's.
Oh, Shakira. I wouldn't say
Shakira. What about Kylie Minogue?
I don't think it's a pop star because I don't think you would say about someone who's a peer industry, she's very popular.
Let's figure it out. Like psychically, I think we can figure out. And also I have Justin Chart up and thank you, Amanda Gale, fabulous comedian and patron, because she has great taste, for bringing it to my attention. She said you have to look at Britney and Justin Chart together, and it's phenomenal.
We will. Well, how about Nicole Richie? She's very popular, married with kids. And she doesn't really have a real job, so very popular is a great way to describe her.
I mean, what if it was like one of the Kardashians?
I don't think anyone would describe them as very popular. They're very infamous. They're huge, but they're not
popular people in the world.
They're not popular. People don't like them. Most of a lot of their.
So you define popular as like people would vote for you for stuff.
People really like you. A lot of people really like you.
I feel like everybody really likes Kim, but like, man, I don't think Justin has a shot with Kim.
I think Kim would have hooked up with Justin for sure, but I don't think it's her because I don't think she was big enough at that time. Also, I think she might be a little too young to have been out in Vegas in 2001, 2002.
Right. Vegas is a clue.
Yeah. But the thing is, Sarah, also just on the Kardashians' popularity, if you look anytime any mainstream news organization posts any story about Kim, all the comments are hate.
True.
People hate her.
Yeah.
More so than they like her, even though we love her. But
that's actually true.
We're going to crack this someday. Right now, my best guess is Nicole Richie or Jessica Alba, because Nicole also might be a little too young to have been in Vegas, but I think it's got to be someone who was famous with them, a part of their peer class. Jessica Alba was getting big at that time. Like, I think, when did Honey come out? That was her big breakout hit. That was 2003. So maybe this could have been around 2003. So I don't know. Or maybe Julia Stiles. She's not very popular though. She kind of just fell by the wayside. So whatever happened to Alex Mack?
She was in Veep.
Anna
Chlumsky.
Alex Mack. Alex Mack is Larissa Olenek.
Oh, whoa, we gotta look at their pictures next to each other. Oh my god, I am ashamed.
Nothing alike.
Schimmel. No, I am. Wow.
Okay, Larissa Olenek has Instagram.
Wow, I'm really, really disappointed in myself. Like, do it again, Brittany. You didn't nail it. Like, how did I? I'm like, wow, I feel really fucked up about that. I'm so stupid.
Oh my god, Larissa Olenek posted a picture of her and her whole family in cow costumes in Asbury Park on June 15th.
Is that a sign? Maybe it was Larissa Olenek.
Does she live in Asbury now?
I mean, I've always really liked her, even though I thought she was the same girl from My Girl. So,
oh my god, and then she's playing pickleball in Asbury. What the fuck? Alex Mack lives in Asbury?
How awesome.
What is this? She keeps tagging this show Erin and Aaron. I guess it's a show on Nickelodeon, but she's geotagging it as Asbury Park. I guess she thinks that she's supposed to geotag it as where she's posting from, even though it's supposed to have nothing to do with Asbury. What? Oh my god. I have to figure this out. Okay, everyone in Asbury, all my Asbury friends, we need to get to the bottom of this. What is going on? What is going on? Larissa Olenek lives in Asbury? Funny.
Could it have been Beyonce?
No.
And maybe maybe he didn't hit that. Maybe because, well, Brittany does say, like, my dancer, my assistant, like, was clear to say, like, she thought he was, like, sort of lying or, like, was trying to look cool. Like, maybe it was, like, we made out.
You would never explain Beyonce as she's actually very popular.
Yeah, that's true.
Very popular. No.
That's so funny. She's my
the
bad.
The sun and correct. The moon. Like,
correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's so funny. Okay. I don't think it was Larissa Olenek.
We'll think about it. Everybody think about it.
But now she's hanging out in Asbury in my mind.
And if anybody knows, let us know.
Let us know. Okay. So to move on.
You know what's
on,
funny? The really sad thing in my mind is like, who's still married?
I know, that's the thing. I'm thinking it could be a second or third marriage. It's just married with kids. It doesn't necessarily, do you know what I mean?
J-Lo?
No.
I think it's Fergie. It's Fergie.
Fergie wasn't that big yet. She wasn't known yet in 2002, 2003. This is very long ago.
She's like not. She's also like not really known now either.
I know. Mm. We're gonna figure this out. I'm gonna do some research on like who was.
No, I'm fascinated.
Who was already famous? I could see him saying, "I hit that last night" about J Lo when he did not, in fact, hit it. That's absolutely a worthwhile guess.
What about Rihanna? Rihanna, was she around then?
No, definitely not. She's too young.
I don't
She's
think it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, right.
Like
okay.
13, 14 at that time.
Wow.
We're going to figure it out. Okay. Now, Britney's saying clearly he'd slept around. It was one of those things where you know, but you just don't say anything. I don't know what those things are. I've never had one of those things. I've never known a hot potato of information and kept it to myself, not even for 5 minutes. That's self-control. No. Neither of us, no.
Never.
So this is something we don't have in common with Britney's.
Finally something we don't have in common with Britney.
Well, the medications, I mean, once I get the full list, we could definitely have some crossover.
I'm sure we do have some crossroads between us.
Yeah, for sure. So she cheats on him with Wade Robson, the choreographer. We were out one night and we went to a
They kissed. Sorry, read the thing, but they just kissed.
I know. We went to a Spanish bar. What's a Spanish bar? Were you having
tapas? Tapas. Dancing to Spanish music, live Spanish music with tapas.
We danced and danced. I made out with him that night, and then she told Justin that she made out with Wade. Britney, poor Britney. This is really weird because it's kind of like instead of confronting Justin about him cheating, she decided to cheat on him and tell him. I think probably subconsciously hoping that he would then come back and say, oh, by the way, I banged friggin' Reese Witherspoon in Vegas. You know what I mean?
Would love to hear it.
Poor girl. And then she says that night, interesting use of the passive voice coming up. That night was chalked up to something that will happen when you're young as we were. And Justin and I moved past it and stayed together. Who chalked it up? I guess Justin decided to chalk it up. Justin probably, I'm sure, if I know Justin, which I don't, but based on his public persona and the things that I do that I have heard and seen about him, I'm sure, and his chart. Yeah, I'm sure he gave her a hard time about it and then decided.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
To be magnanimous and forgive her and be the bigger person. And then Britney, apparently, instead of saying, okay, what about you and All Saints? She just is like, okay, yeah, I fucked up. They stayed together. I thought we were going to be together forever. I hoped we would be. Like, aww, I just, oh, Britney. Poor little Britney. So then she gets pregnant. Bummer. And Justin definitely wasn't happy. She's saying, I always expected us to have a family together one day. This would just be much earlier than I'd anticipated. Besides, what was done, but Justin definitely wasn't happy about the pregnancy. He said we weren't ready to have a baby in our lives, that we were way too young. I mean, yeah, but you're also rich as fuck. I mean,
wait,
like
it was, I know who it was, Katy Perry.
No, Sarah.
It was just coming out then.
No, she wasn't. 2002, 2003?
Yeah, it says, I'm looking on her Wikipedia right now. It says years active. I just checked. 2001 is when she burst into the scene.
No, she did. I Kissed a Girl was not in 2001. That was probably when she was still doing a Christian music career. She had and there's no way she was in Vegas.
Lol.
That's, who's our age?
That's probably right. You're probably
it's got to
right.
be someone who's.
Kate Hudson.
Okay. Now you're talking.
That feels right somehow.
She's actually very popular. She's married with kids. And she's also a Fabletics ambassador, more so than an actor nowadays. I think this makes a lot of sense. I think we can put her on the short list for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got one finally. Shit.
Well, I still think some of my guesses are pretty good too.
Well, who would you say your top contenders are? Because I would say otherwise all mine are like really bad, I think.
I can't remember now. We'll have to listen back, but we're gonna keep working on this. Yep. Anyway, they were too young to have a baby in their lives. I mean, I guess, but the part of the reason for not having a baby too young is because you don't have any money yet and you need to have a career before you can take the time off to have a baby. And like, they have the friggin' money. He just wanted to go bang other people. Let's be honest.
Yeah. He was not ready for a relationship or monogamy. And he thought that what he had was just appropriate for the relationship at the time, which was that until we're really ready, Brittany, in like 30 years, this works for me. And he was, yeah. He would have just kept cheating on her. And
I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
I just hate how much, like, and it's kind of like our fault as a culture too, but like we really made him feel like so much fucking cooler than he was.
Oh yeah. Big time.
His fucking curly do. It's just like, yo, man.
This is why you can't hook up with guys who are taken, because the ego, it becomes a destroyer of worlds. Like, why would you ever want a man to feel that good about himself? That's a liability for us all.
Like, I actually couldn't agree more. And it's like, yeah, will Michelle get an EGOT? Either way, Justin got an ego.
Oh my God. What if it was? No, it couldn't be. Michelle Williams was famous enough at that time. But it's not. There's no way.
Also, they're not going to bring up her marriage. It was like, she wouldn't be like, yeah, she was married. Like, she married with kids, but the first husband was, he literally fucking died in a tragic way.
Yeah, yeah, no. But that would be really funny. She actually does fit the bill. If she wasn't reading the audiobook, I would have been, I feel like that would have been a dark
Megan Fox.
No, she's too young, Sarah. It has to be people who are like 10 years older than us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right.
She's
too
young. And she wasn't even remotely famous yet. You're thinking 2010s. This is 2000. Yeah, I am.
It's 2000. So wait, how old were we then? So that was like high school.
Yeah, high school. Sierra?
Sierra. Ashanti.
Yeah, but Ashanti is
A good guess, though. Sierra's a good guess.
Yeah. Ashanti, not very popular, I would say. She has faded from the scene, I think, by her own choice, of her own volition. She's not trying anymore.
I want to say, like, I sort of think she and Ja Rule are also, like, still together.
No.
Okay.
I don't think they ever really were. I think they just had one song together. Yeah, okay. So let's get back to the abortion. Very sad. She says, I could understand. I mean, I kind of understood. If he didn't want to become a father, I didn't feel like I had much of a choice. So sad. You always have a choice. You always have a choice, especially if you're rich. You are the person that is best suited to have the baby that you want to have. You know, you're fucking rich.
Right.
You get a night nurse, right. You get a day nurse, you get a nanny. Yeah. You, like, you don't need...
to make him feel happy. She just wanted him to, like, she just wanted to do whatever he wanted.
It's so sad. And then she says, I wouldn't want to push him into something he didn't want. Oh,
right. She wanted to be with him more than she wanted his baby right now.
And and she would rather have herself be pushed into something she didn't want than to push him into something. That is so bad and so, like, just self-sacrificing.
But it's also like, I totally get where she was coming from. And like, I remember like that first love, like just hopelessly, like she never thought she was going to be with anyone else. She was like, okay, next time.
Yeah. Oh God.
So bad. It's so sad. Aww.
Our relationship was too important to me. And so I'm sure people will hate me for this. It's so sad that she's even prefacing it with that. But I agreed not to have the baby. Abortion was something I never could have imagined choosing for myself, but given the circumstances, that's what we did. I don't know if that was the right decision. If it had been left up to me alone, I never would have done it. And yet Justin was so sure that he didn't want to be a father. What a fucking piece of shit. Like, literally, what a piece of shit. And then she didn't tell her family. Justin is like, you can't go to a hospital because people will find out. The only person who knew besides Justin and me was Felicia, who was always on hand to help me. And this again, where I'm like, wait, Felicia, what was your job? I thought you were kind of like Lynn.
She was the babysitter.
Yeah, but like, if the kid you're babysitting asks for an abortion, you kind of tell the parents.
Yes, she's but like,
she's a representative of Lynn. So, but also,
yeah, that means that she knows Lynn. And she knows Jamie and she knows where Brittany's from. And I think her job above all was to like protect Brittany. And at this point, Brittany was the breadwinner for the whole family. She had paid her daddy's debts. She bought everybody houses. I think she was like, hey, if you want to keep this fucking gravy train going, do not involve my parents, which is again, why the conservatorship is this ominous looming. It's like a foreshadowing of like, don't involve them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's not like if they involved him, they wouldn't have been like, we need to get her to a hospital with great medical care and then have her talk about it. It's like they're Christians from the South with, even if they have money now, feeling like they have no money and no options, and that they just protect her image at all costs because it's the only thing they have to support them.
Yeah. They would have done, it would have been the exact same outcome, but with more shame.
Yeah.
Coming from her parents. 100%.
Yeah.
So then I was told, again, more very interesting use of the passive voice. I was told it might hurt a little bit, but you'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm sure as Felicia told her that, because Justin would not know that. So that's fucked up. Like, it might hurt a little bit. I don't think people realize how bad it hurts to get an abortion, even if it's just with the pills. And like, it's
dude,
just,
I think it's actually like a really... I don't think it's like, I don't think it's like a plan B. I think it's like a plan A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, V, W, X, Y, Z.
It's really, I think from what I've heard, extremely painful. And they don't,
it's like
tell
a violent chemical interaction happening inside of you.
Yeah. It's forcing your body to expel something that your body wants to keep. Like, it's super painful. And I don't think people are honest with young girls about it, because for one thing, we're not allowed to talk about the realities of abortion, because now we don't even have the right to it in a lot of states anymore.
That's right.
So it's like, we'll get to the reality of it later. We just need it to be legal and accessible and safe. And the other thing is, like, they don't want to pressure girls who aren't in a good position to have a baby to have a baby. And if you tell them how bad it's going to hurt, I think they might. But also, they lie about every single gynecological procedure under the sun. They lie. When I got my epidural, they said, I can't even believe this. You're going to feel a sharp scratch.
And what did it feel like?
Hell. I screamed. Like, they just lie. They lie to you no matter what you're getting done. They're like, you might feel some pressure. And then all of a sudden your insides are being ripped out. You know, it's just what they do with any gynecological procedure.
I mean, with anything, you go to the dentist and you're going to, if you have a cavity fill, that's like, this is going to only hurt for a second. And they stick a needle that feels like it's going through your face into your gums. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they think lying is the way to do it, because
I think they don't want you to tense up right before they.
I know.
Shove
but
stuff into you.
Do you know what? That makes me pass out. I don't know how I didn't pass out when I got the epidural. I guess something in me knew that if I passed out, things were going to get even worse. So like,
no, you're like, I literally am driving this car right now, even if I have help. Like,
yeah.
Even like, if you're the like, I totally get that you could program a Tesla, but like, you won't catch me dead. Like, just like taking shots in the front of my Tesla, trusting the computer entirely.
Right. Exactly. Like, I've passed out getting blood drawn before. I passed out from like a colposcopy, which is like a slightly elevated pap smear. Like, I pass out from everything, but for some reason, this one, I stayed with it. But anyway, yeah, like, it sucks. And I feel so bad for her that she was told it might hurt a little bit, but you'll be fine. Because then what happens is she takes the pills. She goes into the bathroom and stays there for hours, lying on the floor, sobbing and screaming. I started having excruciating cramps. They should have numbed me with something, I thought. I wanted some kind of anesthesia. I wanted to go to the doctor. I was so scared. I lay there wondering if I was going to die. When I tell you it was painful, I can't even begin to describe it. The pain was unbelievable. I went down to the ground on my knees, holding the toilet. For a long time, I couldn't move. To this day, it's one of the most agonizing things I've ever experienced in my life. And she's had two kids. Still, they didn't take me to the hospital. Justin came into the bathroom and lay on the floor with me. At some point, he thought maybe music would help.
No. This made me feel that violently ill from the inside out. Like, no. What did he do, Molly? Tell the people what the most awful thing I could imagine someone doing in that circumstance, which is what he did.
He pulled a Anyway, Here's Wonderwall. He pulled
literally.
He pulled out an acoustic guitar and he laid there with Britney strumming the guitar.
Can you imagine writhing in pain on the floor, aborting your own baby that you kind of want to have in secret? And the guy who you're in love with, whose baby you're aborting because he told you to, brings out his guitar and is serenading you through your screams. I can't believe I give her so much credit. Talk about non-reactive. Not only did she not say anything to him, I would have taken that guitar and smashed it over his motherfucking head. Are you kidding me? And I would have been like, do what you can. Call your connects. Get me some Percocet or go kill yourself. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Terrible stuff. Instead of taking her to the hospital. And this is all to serve his reputation and his ego and his career. Don't forget.
Right.
Because
but they were making it seem like, we don't want Britney to be known as like a baby killing whore.
Yeah.
But really it was and for Justin.
And the whole point of the abortion in general, I'm sure, is so that Justin's career can soar to ever greater heights and he can bang more and more and more women. Because if he's got a ball and chain at home in the form of a wife and child,
right,
then he's going to have to be way more discreet about that. So like if they were there, I mean, if they were the normal Orlando couple, just, you know, at their same ages and she got pregnant, I feel like there's more of a chance that he would have been like, all right, I guess we're doing this, because he mm-hmm. would have had, you know, he wouldn't have had this like career beckoning him. And like, this was a decision made to save his career, basically, which is so fucked up. And I'm sure he framed it to her that it was to also save her career, but mm-hmm. she was fine. I mean, she would have been fine. A lot of young women who become famous early also have kids early, and it's fine, because again, when you have
yeah
money,
but do they have abortions publicly early? I think that was the thing that they were, it wasn't even just sex or kids. Because at the time I think she was still claiming that she was they were like doing a whole act where it was like, we're so in love but we're Christian.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Just for the abortion itself, like,
yeah,
going to the
that's
hospital.
Why they wouldn't take her to the hospital, because they were like, well, if you're having an abortion, then you're definitely having sex, and we already lied to everybody about that.
And again, Justin comes out looking like the bad guy as well if she goes to the hospital. So it's also like so self-serving for him.
Already, and it even, if anything too, like even just him being like associated with like that kind of gossip.
And this is Bush era, by the way.
Right.
Like this is height of conservative America. And she is like the sexy princess of conservative America.
In
like,
Orlando.
Orlando, what are we doing in Orlando? Why are we here? Why are we crying on the bathroom floor in Orlando when we're Britney Spears?
Bad parenting.
Ugh. Okay, final part, and then we're done. After that, I was messed up for a while, especially because I still did love Justin so much. It was insane how much I loved him, and for me, it was unfortunate. I should have seen the breakup coming, but I didn't. Poor Britney.
That's like, why should she have seen the breakup coming?
Because he was cheating on her?
Yeah, but like, I hate that it was like the abortion was like the fine. Like, don't leave her that way. Like,
yeah. Well,
you could cheat on her either way. She seems fine with it. Don't fucking leave her in this state.
Men are
and then make
men.
It. And then I guess we're going to have to get there because we did stop right there, but like, just thinking what we know is coming in Act Two, where it's like, cry me a river? Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God, you're right. Because cry me a river is about her cheating on him with
not kissing at a tapas bar one time.
Making out with someone at a tapas bar after he was out banging, like, God knows how many people, All Saints and whoever else. Oh man.
I fucking love Britney. I am really excited. We have so much astrology to talk about. I literally think this is a rebirth for her in a way that I think, look, any Sagittarians out there, Sagittarians been kind of having a tough go of it for a while. I think that there is a major Sagittarian resurrection happening, a la Taylor Swift and Kelsey. I think the Sagittarians are having a comeback mo, and I really look forward to Britney coming through the Scorpio South Node darkness and reminding us that she is that big Scorpio fire. I mean, that big Sagittarius fire again.
Yeah. I really am. I hope so. And I'm looking forward to it for sure. All right.
So I mean, I literally am going to keep listening right now because like I'm fucking in.
I know, but don't go far ahead. Just go up now.
No, the next 12.
Yeah. So up to chapter 24. How many chapters are there?
49.
Okay. So yeah, chapter 24. That's it for part one of The Woman in Me by Britney Spears, chapters 1 through 12. We are going to continue discussing this book. If you want to hear the full discussion, you're going to need to join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. The next batch of chapters will be on there. It's like really cheap, and you can hear us talk even more about this book that we probably are gonna have a really hard time.
We're gonna talk
about
longer about this book than Britney talks during the book. And when I say Britney, I mean Michelle Williams playing Britney, but we're gonna do more podcasting than the book is long.
I know. Audio. I think we did that for Spare. I think we did that for Spare also.
Look, it's because we have reverence for our subjects and our listeners and the sound of our own voices. Like Britney, we got the goods and we're not going to back down just because we're too young.
This is an essential companion to the book. I think you should all join the Patreon.
Wow. It I is. Love that.
We're adding so much context. We're adding so much, I don't know, cursing that's not present in the actual tome itself. So patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast if you want to get the full experience.
And by then, hopefully we figure out who Justin's essential companion was that one time in Vegas.
Who's actually very popular. Who's with actually, kids. Who's surprisingly popular in Married with Kids.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow?
No. Too old.
Okay, Gabrielle Union.
For some reason, whenever it actually is a woman of color, I assume that he's lying. Because I assume that he is
like
just
you
trying.
Wish. Okay, so.
Yeah, like J-Lo and Gabrielle Union are not hooking up with Justin Timberlake, not even in his prime. There's just no possible way.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.